Thank you, my friend Ken Adams. Always a delight to come to the microphone knowing that our efforts here in Jerry Brenneman's office will someday be a real-life produced radio program, and continue to get feedback, lots and lots of feedback from listeners, especially at church and whatnot. But thank you so much, my listening friend, for supporting what we do here. Jerry, as I said, we are in your office. We have a dear friend who's been with us before. It's been a while. And we're glad to welcome Ruby back in. Why don't you take a moment, introduce her, and then we'll get her history and talk about what's important.
I had to pull Ruby in here today. So, Jim, before we turn to the joyful part of the show, which will be Ruby, I want to say, in regard to what you said about feedback, last week when we did the show about my pastor, Jamie Evans, and depression and suicide and all those awful, awful things, I failed to prepare the staff here completely for people who might have called after hearing that show. Four people called over the weekend asking for help. Whoa. So I would ask any of those four who called. We were able to talk with two of them, and we gave the counseling number to at least three of them, but I don't know if they called or not. So I'm hoping that they did call and that they are in the rotation over there, and that if it was truly an emergency, they were then given the correct information so that they weren't put on a waiting list. Mm-hmm. But I was thankful for that, Jim. I know one woman called here, and staff called me at home. I think this was Sunday. I then called her just so that we would have that link. And one of the things we had said about Jamie that really resonated with her was that his depression had just gotten so deep on top of many other things that just seemed to box him in. And someone made a comment about it was like his mind broke. And that's how she felt. She said she's experienced things before. She's experienced depression. But she's never felt that particular something was different. So maybe Chris Erdman at University Presbyterian hit a chord when he preached a sermon the Sunday after Jamie's death. And I believe it was Chris, because he's a friend of Jamie's, who made that comment, that it's like Jamie's mind circled back on itself, and he couldn't get out of whatever, and it's like his mind broke. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are people listening who feel that. And again, all us, staff is more prepared now. And if we can't get you to the right, if we can't get you help here, then we could give you numbers.
Okay. 264-4714. And staff has the information. Yeah, and I got to take a little responsibility to that, because we recorded two programs last time, and the talk with Jamie was the second one, but I sent it to Ken, so I put them on out of order.
Okay. So I really
from what we recorded.
Okay. So that was very timely. And Jim, you know, you are always praying that people, as we record, that when this show airs, God will have people tuning in who need to hear it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I talked to this one woman about, is that it was God that made you stop and listen today. Mm-hmm. So, because she doesn't usually listen. I don't know that she's, I think she's a believer. I don't know that she ever really heard of the radio program before, but she said she just got tired of the music that was on. So she started flipping dials.
Isn't that interesting? Wow.
Flipping stations.
Well, the joyous part is
okay,
our wonderful sister Ruby.
We call her Ruby Doobie around here affectionately. And I pulled Ruby out of the kitchen. She and Cynthia were out there this morning looking up scripture. So it's kind of fun, Jim, when I interrupt someone to do something like the radio because they're involved in trying to find the scripture. That's our job around here. So what we didn't find it, we'll find it after the radio show. Ruby is in charge of our Crossroads program, which is the apartments next door. And Ruby actually has been here for, what, 12 years, Ruby? 12, 13?
12, 13.
Started out as the night house manager in the garden and has wonderful stories about that, because she was over there for many months by herself and Joby the dog. Because once the program got started and the house was all redone, no people came. Mm-hmm. But that's not happened too often since then.
Yeah.
But now Ruby is in charge of our Crossroads program.
Now, Ruby, were you ever a part of the program here, a resident, or?
No, I wasn't, Jim. And just a coincidence, you asked that question because
you're going to become one, right?
I may. Jerry had asked me to make sure I talked to the residents in the crisis about the Crossroads program. So as I was sharing to the residents in the crisis this morning, one of the ladies did ask me, okay, now did you go through the program after giving out all the information? And I told her no, I wasn't addicted to drugs or alcohol or ever smoked. And I go, but my main thing was probably issues of abuse. I teach that class. I like talking about it, and I know that one of my gifts God has given me is when I can have the gift of seeing women who are affected with issues of abuse. Mm. And they just looked at me. And I was sitting there talking to the lady, and the other resident left, so we had a quiet moment together. And she was sharing that she had been through so many programs, probably about 5 programs.
Mm. And Jim, let me interrupt, because at this point, I kind of know who Ruby's talking about. And we would look at a woman like that and say, okay, you've been through 5 programs. What is the 6th program going to do for you? So, Ruby, go ahead.
And, it must be God, because all of us, Jerry, know who I'm talking about. And I go, can you write down out of all of those programs, the positive and the negative, that applied in your life from the program? And she go, okay. And she kept talking, and I go, again, tell me how the Crossroad program can affect your life or change your life. She couldn't answer that question. She go, I don't know. Out of 5 programs, I go, give me one thing that you have seen a change in the women's hair that's in the Crossroad program since you've been here in the crisis. She couldn't do that. So finally, I go, what about God? Are you a Christian? She looked at me, and tears rolled down her eyes. And she go, you know, I've been saved. And I go, okay, what happened? I go, we've been here talking for about 20 minutes and no emotion, but when I spoke about God, tears came to your eyes. She go, no, you know what, Ruby? I left him due to my marriage with my husband. And I went to church one morning, and he said I was just giving too much time to the Savior. And she go, you know, I went to work, and I came home, and I got loaded. And I never been back to church. And I go, well, that may be your one thing.
You know, it's very interesting to me, Jim, that she's been through 5 programs, that she's interested in Crossroads, but evidently she doesn't know why. So you look at a woman like that and think she can't make it without a program. And when you dig deeper, and Ruby and I and some of the staff around here can almost, it's like a Geiger counter, we can tell, foster care, right?
Right.
Foster care, and this woman is 25, 26, she's not a kid. But you can almost, the failures in the foster care system, now there are many who succeed and there are many who do well, but the ones that fail, that go from home to home to home, and who knows what happens in those places where they are, they almost are institutionalized emotionally for life. They cannot make it any other way. And this woman struck me yesterday because she had, she's got 2 kids, and you look at her and you think, don't you get it? Kids are expensive and they're hard work. What are you, you think that sometimes, but then when you talk to some of them like this, they know that, but they're sort of in that little baby doll syndrome, that if I just have a baby, my problems will go away, and the baby doesn't really need to have a guy around. It's everything that goes wrong when you see it's all happened to this woman. It's her whole life has gone wrong. So she was here for a while, and she kept being sick. Well, we had a whole lot of people sick with all sorts of things, but hers was gallbladder related. So
where'd you catch that from?
It's like, well, you got this issue here, now what's contagious and what isn't? Maybe it's time to go to the hospital. So she had to go to the hospital. She had nobody to care for her kids. She did find somebody who could do that. Had her gallbladder removed, came back here. they released her, I think the day they removed it. She was there for 4 days before, and then the day they take it out, she comes back here. Well, we're not a convalescent hospital.
Right.
And she's already kind of a mess, so then she's an extra mess. She can't do anything. And so, dear Rosalind, you know Rosalind. Rosalind is on hyperdrive all the time. Mm-hmm. And just, and she comes in, she's on duty, she sees this young woman, and just, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. Sorry that you are, and so the, it was like, we're not a convalescent hospital, you can't stay, so just get your act together and do something.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the poor young woman then just burst into tears and just, well, anyway, we worked on that, and she was able to go to Rosalind and say, I don't get it. I don't get why you talk to me that way. I don't understand that. That was a huge thing for the young woman to do, because, of course, Rosalind didn't have a clue she was affecting her that way. She was just maintaining the order in the house.
Yeah.
That was a huge step on the part of the young woman, that she was able to go to the staff member and say that. She said that. The other thing that I was very impressed with, she was not defensive, and she never once pointed her finger at anyone else for getting her in the situation she's in.
Hmm.
She knows that in spite of all the issues, she's the only one who now can get herself out of it.
It's a huge head start.
Yeah. So here we are now with sort of one of those, everything that could go wrong in life has gone wrong. She's a mess. Doesn't seem to have much going for her. Has a little boy who's wild little guy. An infant. Everything is a mess. And yet, what Ruby said, the one thing that made her cry was God and the relationship that she misses with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a huge starting place here.
Mm-hmm. So that conversation was just earlier today?
Yes.
Okay. So we don't know what resolution is going to come from that or what decisions are going to be in that regard.
Right? Probably apply because, again, I go, do not get this discouraged from applying from the program due to the lot of issues in your life. But go ahead and apply. I know a lot of programs you've been through. Jerry's on the same accord. So you know what? We can help each other.
Yeah. I can't believe we're out of time, but we have come to the end of this conversation. Ruby, you got off easy. Jerry, thanks again. My listening friend, thank you so much for joining us. And if you have issues you want to talk about, please call us, 264-4714. That's why we're here. And God uses Evangel Home to make changes in the lives of women. And so call and talk to us. Ken, take it away. I can't believe we're out of time. But that wraps it up for this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.